Hey everybody, this is D. Langston Jules.
And Nefertiti.
And we are Black Hypothesis. Nefertiti, look who I found again.
Who?
Papermaid.
She's done from her Forbes run. She's back.
I thought she forgot something, honestly. That's wild. But yeah, your last episode was so dope. I'm so glad you was able to come here and just spread that knowledge.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
That you were supposed to be doing. And you know, I hope that you get to do some more with us. I don't know how you feel about that, but I don't know. How do you feel, Nefertiti?
I feel great. We're glad to have you back to do our new topic for today, maternal mortality.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned in the last
episode, I did mention a bit about that. Maybe I shared too much information.
Yeah. We're going to start tapping this now.
That's what happens.
So the well runs dry.
So next person who has an interview, you might actually be in a couple more episodes. Accident. So I'm actually going to go to the store real quick.
Okay.
I want some water.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Can you give me back?
Can you give me back a Sour Patch?
Why?
Because I like Sour Patch.
Okay.
That would be great.
Do you have Sour Patch money?
Oh, okay. Never mind that. All right, look. I think we should just start this shit without her. Real talk.
Like, you know what?
You see that Sour Patch bullshit? She always does this. You know what?
Asking you for money and all that?
Hell yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. You know what?
Let's just do this without her.
All right, I'm down.
All right. Episode 8. Let's do it. Black Hypothesis.
So when it comes to Black maternal mortality, honestly speaking, the history is definitely rich.
Unfortunately.
There's a lot to say about the history of Black women giving birth and not surviving or having difficulties during pregnancy, difficulties during birthing procedures. So let's talk about what we know about the history of Black women experiencing negative outcomes with having babies. Why is it that Black women had such a difficult time, especially when, as we know, wasn't it important for Black women to have babies back in the day? I'm pretty sure you guys spoke about.
Yeah. We talked about
slavery and
during slavery time, the southern economy, the nation was no longer able to acquire slaves through the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
So their workaround was to start making more slaves via the Black mother or the Black woman. So
to me, that it makes sense to be able to, you know, make the birthing process for Black women easier and make it, you know, very a positive, not experience. Maybe nobody would have cared if it was a positive experience, but at least successful.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
They definitely made sure that these assets were well cared for. Okay. They studied them. They needed to make sure that their prenatal care was on point. They started breaking boundaries in the hopes of making future slaves. But mm-hmm. Now that we're not slaves anymore.
So things may have gone downhill after that process, after the whole franchise of slavery was dismantled.
They're not checking up on us no more, man. Not us, but I mean the Black moms anymore. I think it's not a coincidence.
So from what I understand, Dr. James Marion Sims was the MD who, really the nation considers the founding father of a lot of the OBGYN sciences.
Shout out to Dr. James Marion Sims. That's a long name. All right, go ahead.
But I don't know about the whole shout out situation. I mean, there are positives and negatives to his contributions, as has been said. But he developed a lot of the procedures, some of the equipment and surgical tools and such. A lot of the research he did was surrounding Black women and Black pregnant women and Black women giving birth to babies. But it seems that, one, the negative aspect is, you know, that Black women were his scientific subjects. They were what we would probably in present day be using as like animals in a science lab. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, even though he did contribute a lot to society, in the time that he was doing a lot of his work, these women were really just means to an end. They weren't holistically considered people. Mm-hmm. So,
like livestock, I guess.
Yeah, more like livestock, more like, you know, one of his research tools. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of understanding of Black women historically in this aspect being there to kind of be for us to benefit from rather than benefit, or for us to work on rather than work with
or for
on behalf of, kind of lends itself to the issues that we're probably experiencing today when it comes to Black mortality rates.
Okay. Looks like that was a premature shout out I just did. I'm going to retract that now that I got the full history.
He ain't your best friend no more?
He's unfriended. He's outside my top five.
Blocked. But yeah, so even considering the history like we are already doing, Black women, I think, have experienced or only benefited from the progress of medicine when it comes to the maternal process, or when it comes to giving birth, being followed up on and all that, and giving birth to healthy babies. I don't know if they've been benefiting from the progress of this science as much as other races or ethnicities or other women in general.
Yeah, it looks like that's just a common theme with anything. With whenever there's like an advancement in society or technology, Black people are usually like the last or to benefit, or they probably benefit the least from it. You know what I mean? Especially, I guess, access to that benefit.
Yeah.
It's always something that doesn't seem to be as easy for us. You know, I wonder why.
I am wondering why.
I do have some stats. I was looking up the CDC website this morning on my way to the gym. And here's some stuff. So each year, the CDC, well, this is how they gather the data surrounding maternal mortality rates. And this is going to be just across the board at first, just for us. Context. Each year, the CDC makes 52 requests across the United States for copies of death certificates of all women who died during pregnancy or within 1 year of pregnancy. They also ask for copies of the matching birth and or death fetal death certificates. So it's one for each state and one for Washington, D.C. and one for New York City. So I guess maybe one for the state and one for the city of New York. The causes of these deaths are then looked at during their analysis. And to get an idea of whenever the numbers that I'm about to say, these are deaths per 100,000 live births. So we're going to define a live birth as they gave birth to a baby that's like alive and not a stillborn. And they've been tracking this data since 1987. Very troublingly, in 1987, when they first started looking at this, it was 7.2 deaths per 100,000 live births. And in 2016, it's more than doubled to 16.9 in 2016. Mm. So, I mean...
So, this like is general mortality for...
All women.
Maternal rates.
Yeah, maternal rates.
Okay.
Yep. And this is across all types of social standings and...
Okay, so generally speaking, maternal mortality is increasing.
Yeah, so it doubled from 7.2 deaths to 16.9 in 2016. And that's just a breakdown across all racial and ethnic groups. And in 2011, they started tracking the data across racial and ethnic groups. And this is how it breaks out. Hispanic women, they have the least amount of deaths with 11.3 per 100,000 live births. White women, they experience 13 deaths per 100 live births. Asian and Pacific Islanders, will experience 14.1 deaths. And this is, after this, it just doubles for some reason. The American Indian women are doing 30.4 deaths, and Black women, 42.4 deaths per 100,000. That is three times the chance that you're not going to walk out of there than a Hispanic or a white person. So some more information. According to the CDC, a few causes of these pregnancy-related deaths are, and I can barely read, so I need you to help me out with some of these, all right?
Just read off the list. Just read off the entire list, and let me say...
Hemorrhaging. I got that one. Hemorrhaging is when you bleed a lot, right? And they bleed to death. Okay. Hemorrhaging, yeah. Infection or sepsis. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is. What is that?
Sepsis is like a chemicals release into the blood. It's like a poisoning. Self-poisoning.
Oh, is it like when your kidneys fail and it can't filter your blood anymore?
That so could like be a reason for sepsis, yeah.
Oh, okay. There are different ways to get it.
Yeah. Like you can have infections while, you know, giving birth, depending on like where you are. Say like if you're giving birth in a place that isn't like a hospital that's to the same kind of standard as many of the hospitals here in the U.S., mm-hmm. that sepsis could happen because you're infected.
Okay. Amniotic fluid embolism.
So embolisms are pretty much blood clots.
Blood clots!
So you can get embolisms pretty much anywhere. And so this is one that's happening between the mother and the child that they're bearing.
So it sounds like there's a physical connection between the mother and the child, and it's like, you know, like the umbilical cord?
Like the umbilical cord, and even the sac that the baby is in, or the surrounding area.
Blood clot to the blood clots.
There's a lot of strain. There's a lot of like muscle spasms and a lot of work happening there to push a baby out. So mm-hmm. it's just like with the kind of ripping that you get whenever a muscle is torn, whenever a tissue is torn, you release cells that can kind of like stop the bleeding. Mm-hmm. When bleeding is internal, those cells still go out to stop the bleeding. And so, like, you can get blood clots forming that way. And then those clots can travel. So
okay.
Clots can be dangerous. Even though they're meant to be good for you, they can be dangerous.
Okay. Thank you. The next one is thrombotic pulmonary embolism. So I'm guessing it's just another type of blood clot.
Yeah.
And a thrombotic pulmonary.
That's, like, more in the lungs area. Okay. Pulmonary is, like, lungs. And a thrombus is a blood clot. Okay. So there's bleeding and there's a blood clot because of the bleeding, and it happens in the lungs. That's okay. What you can get from that.
So there's cardiomyopathy, cerebrovascular accidents, and complications due to anesthesia. Those are the rest of the
causes. Okay. So I would say a lot of the issues tend to be clot related, bleeding related, heart disease related, and then the last one is anesthesia, which is honestly a risk for fucking everybody, but probably more so a risk for Black people, just because when it comes to figuring out how people react to anesthetics, because these drugs are technically, they're meant to stop you from feeling anything. They're also meant to stop you from moving. So they paralyze you is pretty much what it is. So that's why when you go in to have a surgery or a medical procedure, people want to know how you've generally reacted to other anesthetics so that they can tell how much or how little. There are people who get paid a lot of money to measure out how much of these types of drugs you need to be able to still do what you need to do and survive. So for Black women, I would say they probably, just as many other research studies, don't fully understand for Black women how much of a particular drug they need, which is probably why they have the accidents regarding anesthesia.
Okay.
But it is a risk. Anesthesia is always a risk. But when it comes to the heart disease related conditions and the bleeding and stuff like that, Black women, and it's related to Black people in general, I feel like if men could be pregnant and if men could give birth, you'd probably see some disturbing rates of male maternal, that's not even a thing, but male giving birth, their mortality rates would be pretty high too for Black men.
Just because control out the ass.
Just because of like they share these kind of pre-existing conditions that can cause issues with this kind of stress on your heart and stuff like that. Your heart is pumping blood through your body, right? Mm-hmm. And so like if the heart is stressed, it can be overwhelmed. And not only that, but if your blood is moving through your body at an alarming rate, then there could be other issues when you're like pushing hard to release a baby. You know, there's going to be rips and tears and there you may lose a lot of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Hypertension in women, Black women, is also at an alarming rate of incidence. So it's kind of like if you do have hypertension and you're pregnant, it's a risky pregnancy, you know? And just like if you are pregnant with twins, like it's automatically a risky pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of probably contributes a lot to some of the mortality rates that you're seeing with these Black women getting pregnant. And people don't know how to coach Black women out of that kind of situation. I think that what should be really addressed with these women is like the state that they're in while they're still, you know, in their early stages of pregnancy. Why isn't it addressed then, you know, what makes their pregnancy a risky pregnancy? Are they really understanding that like high blood pressure is something that can cause you to lose your life, mm-hmm. you know, while you are pregnant or while you're giving birth? I feel like maybe if that kind of thing was stressed to patients, like, listen, if you have high, I know that usually because people think of high blood pressure or hypertension and stuff like that as a kind of like small disorder or a small disease. Everybody has it. Everybody has it. So it's like no big deal. I'm not going to die. Like it's fine, you know, but it's only when something really bad happens that you realize how dangerous something like this actually is. You can die from hypertension, actually. You can die from, you know, these heart disorders and heart diseases that people are talking about are happening with like all the people that you know, or most of the people that you know, they could die. They're just not at the moment. But if you add something on, like being pregnant or having a living being inside of you, that adds a level of stress to your body, which makes it more difficult for your body to function while having other comorbidities.
Right.
You know? So
what are comorbidities? That's another word that I did
comorbidities not get are like the kind of things that help you to be dead. The things that bring you closer to death while you're alive, you know, like
comorbidities.
Yeah. So those are the things that you hear of people being diagnosed with that makes it difficult for them to keep their health in check and keep that balance, because health is all about balancing and not being too this or too that. It's the kind of thing that pushes you too much to one side.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So like going back to like pre-existing conditions, Serena Williams, she had prior experience to pulmonary embolisms, I guess in 2011. Mm-hmm. She even had to have like some life-saving procedure done on her. And this was pulmonary means your lungs, right? So
yeah.
I have to say lungs. All right. So she was having these blood clots in her lungs, pulmonary embolisms. And she was feeling short of breath after her birth with her child. And she was telling the doctors that, and the nurse, they thought that she was confused. I think they ordered some other procedure to be done, like a Doppler or a sonogram or something like that. And she told them that she needed a CT scan, I guess, for her lungs, and anticoagulant heparin drip. Like, she was specifically told on what she needed.
Which patients, you know, tend to be, especially after they've like already experienced something before and almost they fucking were treated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You remember
you,
that.
You're going to know what's wrong with you, okay?
You're going to remember that. So they, yeah, so they didn't believe her, and they did the Doppler thing at first, and it didn't work. Nothing came up. But it had been a few hours by the time they realized, oh, yeah, she needs a CT scan and this heparin drip that she said. She literally told them how to do their job, and they still didn't answer. I mean, they still didn't like listen to her. You know what I mean?
I think this
kind
of...
And that's not even like a... She's a very high profile patient.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, you should be scared to lose her.
Like, you're right. Yeah, you don't be known for the one that killed Serena Williams. So how are they going to care about, you know, somebody else that is just some regular person that works a 9-to-5 and she's pregnant?
True.
She walks
that's
in.
That's a good way to think of it. Yeah.
Something feels wrong with her too. So, I mean...
Yeah, I feel like doctors, they go to school for a very long time to be able to be the person to tell you what you need.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes when it comes to patients, because good doctors know that patients will tell you what's wrong with them, even if they're not as specific and even if they're not as knowledgeable as Serena Williams was in that particular example, a lot of times... Doctors are supposed to be asking questions, and the answers the patients give them are supposed to tell them, or are supposed to be a clue as to what could potentially be going wrong in a situation.
Don't dismiss them too at that.
Yeah, like, so dismissing a patient isn't a good thing to do in general. It's just not a very helpful to anyone's process.
Yo, I'm about to shout out this hospital right now. Let me see where they were at. I'm gonna find it before the end of this.
But that's something that I hear a lot, actually, that I've seen in many of the documentaries that I've watched, or even videos, or people just telling me in person about their experiences with, you know, going to the hospital as a person of color. It's like people don't believe you when you're reporting something about yourself. It's like you don't know. I don't know why it could be, but it's just like, what, you don't think these people know about themselves? You think they don't understand medicine or health or biology? What is it about people of color expressing something that could be wrong, something that's supposed to be your job to do? Maybe that could be it. Maybe it could be the dictation of somebody of color, like coming to someone else and saying, like, you need to be doing this. And maybe that dictation is the issue. Like, maybe you can't tell me what to do. This is my job. I know better than you. Like, it's sad to think that you could potentially be putting your life in somebody's hands who thinks that you are built in a way that doesn't make you the same as other people who they've dealt with. They can be less particular with you. They can be less, you know, gentle with you. They can be less, you know, reassuring with you.
Right.
It's okay because you're good all by yourself. But because of that, I'm hearing a lot more support in the midwives and the midwifery culture. You know, Black women are thinking, I want to make sure that there's somebody...
Could you define what a midwife is?
A midwife... Okay, so a midwife
also, what is a doula, when you get a chance? Because I saw that word somewhere.
I feel like a doula and a midwife are kind of very similar in certain aspects. So a doula is there during the whole process with you. They're kind of like... Ooh, I think a good way to think of a doula is like a birth therapist. Like, you can think of a doula as a maternity therapist. They're there to, like, talk through things with you, explain certain things that you may not understand, for you to ask questions, and for them to kind of, like, figure out how you want to go through this birthing process and make sure that you can do it successfully. Yeah, so just hold your hand through the entire process. And a midwife is... kind of very similar in that regard, and they also like help you give birth to the child. So they help birth the child with you. You don't necessarily have to you know, give birth in a hospital. You don't have to. People kind of have the choice. Mm-hmm. It's not legally required for people to do that. So some people who have preferences would go ahead and have a midwife who can help them give birth on their own.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and midwives can be trained in many different medical sciences, you know, or sometimes just have a lot of experience with helping women give birth. And when it comes to other cultures or other ethnicities, you'd be surprised how many people who aren't doctors have tons of experience, you know, helping people to give birth to children. So, and they're looking into that because, you know, they go to these hospitals and they're not treated well. And they don't know if they're going to leave this hospital, you know? So it's kind of just like, why would I go ahead and invest all this time, money, and effort into seeing a professional who is going to not care if I survive this process when I can supplement my care with, because obviously they're still going to want to do all the things that are recommended medically to give birth to a child, your prenatal vitamins and having certain checkups, certain medical procedures such as ultrasounds to check on the status of your embryo and all that, or your fetus depending on the stage. So they're still going to want to do that stuff, but it's just like, you don't always have to be going to see this MD who's not going to be believing you, not going to be treating you like they treat others.
And he probably has like 60 other patients.
And that's another thing. Yeah. Because doctors honestly do have a very high, like, patient volume, right? Like the amount of patients that they see every, it's just increasing, you know, with the population, and the number of doctors isn't really increasing at the same rate. Not only that, but with the increased regulations, they have to do a lot of paperwork. They have to do a lot of follow-ups outside of the room with the patient.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like, they're burdened with a lot of stuff too, but it should never impact the quality of care that you have for a particular patient, especially if it's not equal. If it's not equitable what you're doing, then, you know, there's an issue and it needs to be addressed. Yeah. So,
so people are taking it into their own hands. To have a doula
yeah,
as well,
they're taking it into their own
have
hands.
As much of a workload and
exactly,
sure
this is what they do.
Care.
They care, especially because they're spending more time with you too.
Right, right. So they
you
know you.
They know
have
you exactly. They know what you're doing. They know your experiences with people. So it's kind of just like they're less inclined to be in that kind of objective, like, I don't really mind or I don't care about you. Not that doctors don't care. It's just like a therapist would know more about you, right?
Right.
What would you say are the things that we could possibly, or people could possibly do to minimize, or, because obviously this is like an opinion. So what's your opinion of what women could possibly do to minimize their risk of mortality or the odds of them dying when they're trying to give birth to an infant?
Yeah, no, I feel like this is a conversation that's been happening already, thankfully. Some people are already trying to, like, affect change. I remember how we talked about last time in your public health discussion where you usually use this type of data to affect change and policy. Elizabeth Warren, who is running for president, I'm not super into politics, but shout out to Elizabeth Warren and what she's doing.
Actually really like Elizabeth Warren.
Do you?
Yeah.
Dope. All right. So you're going to like this then. She hasn't had your vote before. Okay, so she's introducing a bill where instead of having like individual visits and you pay for them while you're pregnant and when you're visiting your OBGYN, because I don't know when you start, maybe in the first, throughout the 10-month journey, you're having these doctor's visits. She's proposing that they set one set price for the entire episode of care. And by episode of care, I mean that, well, by episode of care, it's defined as a predetermined number of appointments that you'll have, depending on what your condition or what your situation is. And, so I guess that's kind of like, you're like bundling your payments and that will make it a lot less expensive to have quality care. On top of that, she wants to have some sort of like incentive reward system for medical or hospital systems that are improving their maternal mortality rates with financial incentives, as well as fiscally penalizing them if their maternal mortality rates are bad and they're not improving or they're just getting worse as well. So pretty much making sure that these hospitals have some skin in the game and they don't just have like mothers dying all over the place and no one's being held accountable for it. Listen, money talks and bullshit walks. I feel like at the end of the day, that's always like a really good solution, because things like data and money, that always like affects people's behavior. And it's a good management tool, I think.
I think that when it comes to improving mortality rates for people of color, it also has a lot to do with us. You know what I mean? It comes down to you really investing in your life and understanding that just because we're women doesn't mean like we are already prepared with everything that we have in order to survive something as difficult as giving birth to a child.
So take control of the situation.
Take control of the situation. Know that even though, because, you know, when we see MD, we think this person has authority. They're a professional. They know everything. So I'm just going to listen to what they say. And it's not that I don't think that that is, that's true. You should definitely listen to health professionals and you should definitely be considering their suggestions to you. But you also need to know about yourself too. Right. The information that they have, because they've been trained, you need to do your same research.
So I'm sorry. So not take control, but take like an active part.
Yeah. Be an active participant. Be an active learner in the process. Don't just do passively what everybody's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. And that includes knowing what your health status is. Maybe if you're planning to be pregnant, knowing what your health status is and what the possible risks of you getting pregnant are before getting pregnant. And if, you know, it is an accidental pregnancy or unplanned pregnancy, because the two are different. You know, finding out what that status is very early on, so that you can manage your health and really, you know, eat the right things. If you had particular issues prior to, make sure that you're managing that the best that you can, keeping your sugars and salts within reasonable limits, making sure that you're exercising, you know, making your heart as healthy as it can be. And that is going to be what's best for you, and it's going to be what's best for your child, you know? So really doing the counseling it takes, taking all the classes you possibly can to learn what is the right and what is the wrong way to give birth, because there is a method to the madness. It's a crazy experience, but there's a right and wrong way to do literally everything in that process. So I think the classes are very important as well, your vitamins and all of that, and getting a partner to go through the process with, whether it is, you know, somebody who's having your baby with you, like a relationship partner, whether it is a doula, whether it is a therapist, whether it is, you know, a midwife, somebody else who can help you throughout the process so that you're not just doing it by yourself, because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of stuff to remember as well. So,
So the Black Mamas Matter Alliance, they center around advocating and driving research and also shifting the culture towards more of a focus on Black maternal health, rights, and justice, right? So shout out to them. I think there's a lot of work that can be done. I feel like if they can be at the forefront along with other groups and with Miss Warren's bill, I think we can't just let the problem go away, right? Because like I said, it's been trending up since 1987. That's more than 30 years a lot of people die. It should be zero, honestly. Yeah. So the fact that it's going up, I feel like we need to
And look, researching these hospitals and institutions and the MDs that you see, you know, maybe you don't just want to see any MD. Maybe you want to make sure that you're seeing one who you know has had good experiences with Black women such as yourself or to you, if they've been able to have a successful outcome with women who are very similar to you, then the chances of them being able to have the similar kind of experience with you is great, you know?
Yo, shout out to Black mamas. Shout out to the doulas. Shout out to Serena Williams. I'm gonna bring up one more time. I just remember since she's joining, and this is months old, honestly. So I think this is earlier in 2019. She's joining, or she joined Mark Cuban and a bunch of other investors. They put up $3 million for this maternal mommy health startup called Mame, M-A-H-M-E-E. So what this app does is that it'll link your moms and babies, their health history together, and you can use this data to proactively engage, check on, and monitor patients through maternity coaches and escalate.
That is so awesome.
Right? And concerns that doctors might bring back. You can also put together a mommy and baby's care plan. You can stay up to date. I guess the data can be tracked live, or you can set thresholds on certain biometric stuff that you're looking at to shoot out red flags to the doctor so those things aren't missed. And it has a secure online dashboard where you can just look at all the information. So I think that's another like really good tool that, you know, everyone should be looking at. And
yeah, keeping medical records is really important, or having a good idea of what your medical history is super important. And I think there are a lot of people who kind of like have an experience and just figure like, oh, it's somewhere, some professional has it. And then when they need it, or they need it desperately, they don't know how to get it, or how to get it within a reasonable amount of time to help their situation. So if you could, if you have records somewhere, nobody's going to tell you, no, you can't have your own records.
Right.
So yes, it's fine for whatever hospital you regularly visit to have those records, but it's also good for you to keep them yourself. So you can also just have like maybe a cabinet somewhere private, where you are the only person who has access to them, and keep copies of, you know, your medical history, so that if, you know, a situation were to come up where they were needed to help you with your care, or God forbid a situation comes up where your family needs those records, you know what I mean? Then they have access to them.
Right. Yeah. So I think most of it is just taking an active part in.
Yeah. Be an active part of your own pregnancy and your maternal process. If you want to leave the hospital and leave the hospital seeing your baby in your hands, then it's probably best to see health professionals who have experience with people similar to you and have a lot of positive outcomes, a lot of positive reports from patients who are similar to you on that particular provider. And yes, the history of, you know, women giving birth hasn't been so great in the past, but
we can do better.
We will do better.
I think
we need to do
up.
Better. And so that's probably all that we need to say on that.
Okay, cool. And that's it. So if you like this episode, give us 5 stars. If you want to be on the show, I think that'll be really cool. If you think there's another topic that you think you could bring to the circle, you can hit us up on Black Hypothesis at Instagram, or you can email us at blackhypothesis@gmail.com. And I think that's a wrap. Black Hypothesis.